Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you and I praise you. I just look around and I see the people came in. And Father God, they're hungry, they're thirsty, they're all your leaders. And they want to be changed, Father. They want to be so full of you, God, that nothing else matters except you and them. I'm asking you, Father God, to fill them to overflowing this day. Change, rearrange, do what you have to do to us, Father God, to get us to be just like your Son, Jesus. Where we won't compromise. Where we won't walk in offense. But we will just be wanting to do your will, Father. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This first thing I'm going to read is a prophetic word that I picked that came over the email. And you have probably already read it, but I would like to get us to read it together. It's a word from God. Do you sense that you were made for war? Do you earnestly desire to follow God's end time strategies? If so, I heard the Lord speak this encouraging word for you. When you consider everything you were born for, everything you have endured, and everything you have encountered, know that I have equipped you and prepared you for this moment in time. My Navy SEALs, you have been called to the front of the line to lead the way and plow new territory. Do you see that? You have been called to the front of the line to lead the way and plow new territory. You have been assigned as a general in the army of the Lord. You are a good soldier, my Navy SEAL. But once you get called up higher, honored and celebrated, the party is over and the confetti is thrown away because it is time for the real training. And when I read that, you know, I wanted to have the balloons and everything, and God would not allow me to do it. So what does he say? But once you get called up higher, honored and celebrated, the party is over, and the confetti is thrown away, because it is time for the real training. And the endurance training you went through during your life has only qualified you to withstand the new heights. I'm releasing strategy that resembles military training. Once you enter into battle and they see your strength and endurance, you will be advanced higher. After that, you will be recruited for elite special forces such as the spiritual Navy SEALs, Army Rangers, or intelligence corps. Now, this is God speaking all this. Once you receive your specific training, you get to apply what you have learned. Then more critical assignments are given to you. You see this? Calling you higher. You have been called higher into new territory for training. For training. The training is called remnant training. And your new assignment is called end. After, are you up for it? You wonder why the battles are raging around about you, why we're going through all the stuff we're going through. This is explaining all that. You have been a good soldier. You've endured many trials, storms, and tragedies with a continual praise on your lips. You've endured the tears, blood, and sweat, but you made it and gave God all the glory. I can trust you. Can you trust me? This new level is different. And there's no turning back. In this new place, your faith will be challenged. Your endurance will be challenged. Your heart will be challenged. Your mind will be challenged. Your body will be challenged. And your eyes will be challenged. You're reading all this, right? And along this journey, the road will get hard. So keep the faith. The road will get heated. Keep the endurance. The road will have wounded soldiers. Keep your heart. The road will be loud with cries of the broken. Keep your mind. The road will get long and the terrain will be high, low, hot, cold, extreme, and intense. Keep your body. The road will get hard. Keep your eyes fixed on me. You have been assigned my elite soldiers. So you understand why you're going through all the hard times you're going through right now? You're in training. Your pain has not gone unnoticed. Your journey has been a qualifying process for your assignment. You are stronger than you think you are. Here are some points of strategy that you need to know. I will teach you how to fight at this level, as you don't know how at this point, all right? All your life thus far has qualified you. This is where I start fresh with you, having to start anew. I will teach you how to walk, talk, think, respond, fight, strategize, hear my voice, and war. New levels of faith unknown to your natural mind will be made available to you. New depths in the spirit will bring you into new praise, new worship, new warfare, new love, and new power. I have been storing them all up for this moment in time. I am ready to open the door to these storehouses for access. Are you committed? You were built and made for this. You were built and made for war. I will teach and train you how to be a warrior for souls with my end time weapons. I am handing you the key. Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is upon you. I will transform you into my image. Tell my people that I have called a new strategy meeting. I thought that was awesome. I don't know about you, but it just really explains all some of the things, my questions I've been holding before the Lord. It makes me understand what I'm going through now. Does it help you? So I want you really to keep that in your spirit, man. And I never want you to let it go. This here came on, on Elijah list. I'm not sure. But I just thought it was totally awesome that we're at a brand new level with God. And we know we had never gone this way before. So he has to be training us how to go this way. So when you can get confused and you think God doesn't know what he's doing, it's just because you've never gone this way before. And he's trying to teach us how to walk this new path that we're on. And I'm quite sure a lot of you in here, God has said to you before, you've never gone this way before when he's prophesied to you. Amen. So there it is. We are soldiers in the elite army of God. Navy SEALs, whatever. And everything you've gone through up until this point was so God could start training you to be the elite soldier that you are to become. Amen. Go ahead, Nancy. Do you have the other one up there? All right, this morning I'm going to teach on the heart of a warrior. The heart is a true seat of everything that you and I really are. Where your heart is where you really are. We have not been called out to be weak, feeble followers of Christ. Rather, we have been called out as intercessors, gap standers, warriors, conquerors, defenders of the truth, and heavenly patriots. That's what we've been called to do. Paul constantly related our daily Christian walk to an ongoing struggle and battleground. Paul constantly related our daily Christian walk to an ongoing struggle and battleground. We need to arrive at the place in our lives where we begin to understand that as believers in Jesus Christ, the enemy will be constantly attempting to wage war against us. He desires to bring us down, to destroy our faith and confidence, to shatter our hopes and dreams. Ultimately, he desires to defeat us completely. And I can just about guarantee a lot of us in this building today are at this place where the enemy's trying to defeat us completely. This is where the heart of a warrior comes into play. If your innermost man, which is your heart, is set on being a warrior, if you are a warrior at heart, you will be prepared for whatever may come your way. You will live every day saying, "Bring it on, devil." If you have a true warrior's heart. In other words, when somebody does something stupid to you, say, "Bring it on, devil. I'm ready for you. I can handle this. I couldn't handle it yesterday, but I'm an elite soldier and I can handle it today." King David was a veteran of many foreign wars. He was a conqueror, a defender, a true patriot. This man was also a veteran of many spiritual wars. and was thus primed in the art of engaging the enemy with the sole purpose of victory. He never went to battle with the thought he was going to lose the fight. And see, we don't go to battle with that in mind. We go to the battle thinking, I'll never make it. But David didn't do that. Let's look at the psalm he wrote. It's Psalm 27, 1 through 14. Having himself been involved in such a vast number of physical and spiritual struggles and battles, David is more than qualified to instruct us in waging successful spiritual warfare, and in the process, developing the heart of a warrior. Developing the heart of a warrior begins by placing our focus on God, not on fear. We're always afraid we're not going to make it. We're always going to be afraid that somebody's going to say something. There's always fear, and that isn't the way it goes. We focus on God, not on fear. Psalm 27, 1 through 3, a psalm of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. See, he knew this. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident. See, David knew who was behind him, and David went out to battle with total victory on his mind. He never, ever imagined that he would even think about losing because God was with him. And this, see, we have to get this mindset of David. We have to get this warrior mindset that no matter what we're going through, that the victory is already ours because God is fighting this battle for us. David begins with a strong declaration. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom should I be afraid? Illustration, Mac Lucido shares a story of a parakeet named Chippy who had a very bad day. It began when the bird's owner decided to clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner. She was almost finished when the phone rang, so she turned around to answer it. Before she knew it, Chippy was gone. In a panic, she ripped open the vacuum bag. There was Chippy, covered in dirt and gasping for air. She carried him to the bathroom and rinsed him off under the faucet. Then, realizing that Chippy was cold and wet, she reached for the hairdryer. Chippy never knew what hit him. His owner was asked a few days later how he was recovering. Well, she replied, Chippy doesn't sing much anymore. He just sits and stares. Amen. Now, have you ever felt like that? 1 minute you're whistling through life, and the next you're caught up in a whirlwind of stress. Life sucks you up into its vortex, and just when you think you've recovered from one trouble, another wind of adversity blows in your direction. Application. Don't be like Chippy the parakeet. Don't let this song go out of your life. David did not let fear take the song out of his life, and neither should we. Amen. But how is this possible? It is possible only when we focus on who God is, how great he is, and what he means to us. He is our light. He is our salvation. And because of him, we are no longer living in the darkness of sin. And no enemy can take God's salvation from us. We have nothing to, it's always victory for us with all that, isn't it? There's just no way we can lose. Continuing in verse 2 and 3, David says, when evildoers came against me to devour my flesh, my foes and my enemies stumbled and fell. See that? Though an army deploy against me, my heart is not afraid. Though war break out against me, still I am confident. Nothing moved David. Spiritual warfare requires confidence. Confidence not in our own strength and abilities, but in God and his strength and abilities and his power. The enemy uses psychological warfare against us. He knows that if he and his demons can get believers to fear, they have gone a long way in winning a spiritual battle that the devil has. David, the veteran warrior of before God knew the secret to winning the fear game. Focus, and this, how did he win? Focus completely on God. David, the veteran warrior for God, knew the secret to winning the fear game. Focus completely on God. A warrior's heart is refined as we learn to practice consistent fellowship with God. Come to the well. Psalm 23, 4 through 10. David says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek." This is what he's seeking. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." In other words, he wants to go to the well. "For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock." See, he shall. David knew that God, he knew that God was going to do all that as he went before the Father. "And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me." See that? "Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. When you said, 'Seek my face,' my heart said to you, 'Your face, Lord, I will seek.'" See, when God said, "Seek me, find me," David said, "I will." "Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father, my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." I wish everybody that suffered from rejection would understand this. "When my father, my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me." Verse 4, "I have asked one thing from the Lord. It is what I desire, to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gazing on the beauty of the Lord and seeking him in his temple." When David says all the days of my life, he is talking about constant communion with God. He is not talking about coming to God only when he's in trouble. David puts it this way in verse 5, "For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity." See that? If you drink from the well every day, you'll be able to say what David said, "For he will conceal me in his shelter in the day of adversity. He will hide me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock." Why did David have assurance in times of trouble? Because before trouble ever got to David, he had been dwelling in God's house, drinking at the well all the days of his life. You know, David was a shepherd. He sang every day, all day long, just about. So he was constantly drinking from the well, the living waters. One of the greatest mistakes you can make in spiritual warfare is to wait to train for battle in the midst of battle. One of the greatest mistakes you can make in spiritual warfare is to wait to train for battle in the midst of battle. Train before the battle ever begins. As David mentions over and again, the greatest place to train from battle is in God's house, which is the well. Verses 6, 7, "Then my head will be high above my enemies around me. I will offer sacrifices in his tent with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Lord, hear my voice when I call. Be gracious to me and answer me." David made it a consistent practice of his life to attend worship in God's house. David was an excellent warrior for God, because he was faithful to the house of God, which is the well. Children of God are losing a great battle here because they don't go to the well continually. Verses 8 through 10. "In your behalf, my heart says, seek my face. Lord, I will seek your face. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my help. Do not leave me or abandon me, God of my salvation. Even if my father and mother abandon me, the Lord cares for me." When David cried out to God, God answered him. What was God's answer? He said, "Seek my face, David." To which David immediately replied, "Thy face, Lord, will I seek." Application: what are you seeking today? Comfort, riches, popularity? God never asked you to seek any such things. He asked us to seek his face, seek intimacy with him. God desires closeness. He desires a personal, intimate closeness. Even when others, including close family, reject you, God desires you. The key to victory in spiritual battle is consistent communion / constant drinking from the well. Do you walk with God face to face, or is your relationship with God on and off? Strive for consistency. Make worship a priority. I want to stop there for a second. I was sitting there last night, and Brother Christopher was given the sermon, and God spoke very sternly to me. He says, whoever stands behind this pulpit, if they aren't living it, don't preach it. In other words, you're saying we should be full of joy, 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 joy in front of the people, but you don't have that joy. This is all a facade. This is all just, you know, a face that you put on. And God doesn't, he said, I don't want that no more. He's David, what David said, David lived it. David was living this. And so he could talk to you about it. They put it in the Psalms. You know, if you're up here preaching, don't walk in a fence, and you yourself are walking in a fence, God doesn't want you to do that. If you aren't living it, then don't preach it. Don't even speak it over others or to others. You're supposed to be a constant with God. He's supposed to be ever with you. And Jesus is supposed to flood out of you. If you're standing up and saying, you be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and you go on and on and on. And if you're not strong in the Lord and the power of his might, then you shouldn't be saying it. You should be living what you're preaching. Are you understanding this? So from this day forth, anybody stands behind this pulpit, if you're not living, don't come here and preach it. All right? Because God is upset about that. That's been going on. He said he wants it stopped. So wherever you're at, I don't care if you're called to go someplace and minister, only minister what you've been living and what you know works. Amen? All right, the defining step of a true warrior is learning to live in an upright life. Verse 11 through 14. Verse 11, because of my adversaries, show me your way, Lord, and lead me on a level path. As Christians, our desire must be the straight path. Very little is said today about the value of a morally good life. It is not politically correct to even say that one way of life is good and another is not. That one action is moral and another is not. Traditional values in society have been torn down in the name of fairness and tolerance. Traditional values in society have been torn down in the name of fairness and tolerance. This has also led to weakness in spiritual warfare. The enemy tries to persuade us our values are outdated and intolerant, or intolerant. Verse 12, do not give me over to the will of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, breathing violence. David speaking to God. Then he says, I'm saying when you live a morally upright life, people will be cruel to you. They will falsely accuse you of being holier than thou. Trust in the Lord for patience and protection at this point. Then verse 13, I am certain that I will see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. He wasn't going to wait till he's dead and go to heaven. He was going to see it right now. God is a good and loving God that will reveal to you his goodness in your time of need. There is a good and right way to live, and there is a wrong way to live. Immoral society may attempt to erase the lines, but we all know there is a difference between right and wrong. Verse 14, wait for the Lord, be courageous and let your heart be strong. Wait for the Lord. The only way we can overcome society's impulses to compromise is to follow David's counsel here in verse 14. See, you can read David's, you can read this psalm about what David said and know that you know that you know that David lived it out. And David has proven the fact that God is always for him and never against him. And it doesn't matter what kind of enemy comes against David, God was there to fight his battle. God spoke to me the other night. He wanted me to do something. He said, now, I want you go ahead and move forward and do this. I'm going to fight this battle that you're fighting right now. I'm taking this battle over, and I'm going to fight this battle for you. So don't even think about this battle, because you need to concentrate totally and completely on what I'm asking you to do right now. You see how God works? So he knew that I was already, you know, fighting a battle, and I couldn't fight that battle and go into this next battle. So he said, I'll finish this battle. Believe me, he said, I have it in my hands. Are you understanding this thing? But I see, I know that God does fight my battles for me. And I know when God says, I have your back, he has my back. And I don't have to be concerned about what I'm walking away from, still not cleared up, because I know God knows how to clear the thing up. And I can go forward and do the things God's called me forth to do. I'm hearing God say, some of you need to quit allowing your children to hold you back. He didn't give you children to hold you back. He gave you children to raise up in his ways, and you're supposed to continue on your walk with God. All right, what was I said the only way we can overcome society's impulses to compromise is to follow David's counsel here in verse 14 that we just read. We must look to the Lord, not to society around us, for our guidelines on what is right and wrong. We must look to the Lord, not to society around us, for our guidelines on what is right and wrong. Right now, if you look to the world for what is right and wrong, you'd be totally messed up. Amen? Totally messed up. If we wait to see which way the moral winds are blowing, we will be lost at sea. We don't have to wait on nothing, because God gives it all in his word, doesn't he? And the word tells us exactly how we're supposed to live. There's no question about it. It's in there, and we're supposed to follow the way God tells us to walk. Conclusion. Do you have that warrior's heart? Are you winning life's battles? Make the adjustments the word of God calls for, and your life will be victorious. I really want you to study this Psalms that we read today. I want you to see what David had to say about what God would do for him. And because he walked it out, he knew that he knew that he knew that his God was well able. Our problem is we don't know. We don't walk anything out. I don't know what we do. And then we're trying to lead other people, and we can't lead them because we ourselves are still messed up. And I'm hearing God say there's too much compromise in the body of Christ. You know, everybody wants to be liked. Well, y'all know I don't care. But the majority want to be liked, don't they? And so what they'll do is they know the truth, but instead of standing on the truth, they'll compromise because they want to keep a following, or they want whatever they want to do. We cannot do that. And that's one of the things that God is saying. He said, if you're not living it, then don't preach it. We're standing up here preaching one thing and living an entirely different life. And, you know, my daughter's in from Arkansas, and she says, there's so much, I think that's where she's from, so much anger in this house. And I say, no. And see, I have to live with that anger. But in living with that anger, I have to keep my love going too. So when I tell you that to love your enemies, you can love your enemies because I'm living it. You understand this? If I say you can love those who persecute you, I'm living it. And I know I can love those who are persecuting me. So whatever I preach, I'm living it, and I know that God can do it. And after 40 years or so, I've been through a lot of things. And you know, and God has brought me through. He's always been my source. He's always kept me strong. And so I can tell you, you can do this thing. The reason you are, I'll tell you, just like God told me, I said, God, I can't do this. He said, oh, yes, you can. You just don't want to. So whenever you say, well, God, this is too much. I can't handle this. Yes, you can, because God's word said he never gives you more than you can handle. You just don't want to. it's hard to love your enemies. It just is. I'm being honest. It's hard to love your enemies. It's hard to love those who persecute you. It's hard to love those who day in and day out come against you. It's just hard to do that. But Jesus' word says we can do it because Jesus did it. And Jesus is our source, right? He's the one that we fashion ourselves after, right? Not a person, but after. Read what God told me early on and when I first got born again. Read my word. Read all about what my son did. And he said, then fashion yourself after him. And if you really read what Jesus went through, he went through a lot. But, you know, and I said to God, well, God, he only did that for 3 years. Don't use that excuse. It does not fly with God. You know, 3 years you can handle. 16 you can't. You know, it's just an example, right? And God said, I don't want you to even go there. He said, you can do this or I wouldn't give it to you to do. So what do you want out of God? Well, you know, he's not going to let you just slide through life. He just isn't. Jesus didn't slide through life. He suffered. The disciples did not slide through life. They suffered. And God told them, this is how you're going to die. And it was terrible death. And God would say, when you go to the next town, they're going to kill you there. But they had to go. They followed God, went to the next town, knowing they were going to die in that town. But they went. Y'all wouldn't do that. I'm not going there. I'm going to take the long route. You know, I'm not going in that town. I don't want to die here in a week or two. Well, I'll go there 2 years from now. No, we have to do what the disciples did, do what Jesus did, and go and take up your cross daily and just walk. You can do this thing. I'm going to tell you, if you guys are sitting here this morning, if you couldn't do it, God wouldn't be called. You wouldn't even be here this morning. Because I said, God, there's not very many people coming out to this revival. He said, only the strong will survive. So what he was telling me, it's only the strong ones that are coming out to be taught how to go to the well and how to just survive and be the soldiers in this army that we read about at the very beginning. So he said, we don't worry about, because I just know this is a good revival. I just know there's a whole lot of good stuff in it. And I just can't figure out why people aren't coming to see. They don't want to hear. They don't want to change. They don't want to drink from the well. They don't want that abundance of living water. They don't want that. See, I've told you many times, you're only held accountable for what you know. So they stay away because they don't want to hear no more. They don't want to be held accountable for it. But you guys, you're strong. You're brave. You're courageous. Well, I'll go in there and learn something. I'm going to have to live it because I'm going to be held accountable for it when I stand before the Father. Amen. Some of you are still weak and you just can't quite handle the assignments God's given you. But as we read here, he's trying to strengthen you. He's trying to give you the weapons that you need to be strengthened and be able to handle the assignments that he's given you. And I'm a hard taskmaster, I know. You know, I expect you to do it right because God always expected me to do it right. And I'm not going to let you just sit here and just do your thing your way. You're going to do it the way God wants it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And, you know, I know you fuss it to yourself about what I have you do, but afterwards, don't you thank me? I thank you. I've got to just thank you. She was strong with me and made me do it the right way and not let me just. I'm not going to stand before God one day and your blood's not going to be in my hands. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. And what you do with the truth is up to you. Isn't that what Jesus did? In his word, he told you the truth. It tells you the truth. And what you do with that truth is totally up to you. And some in the body of Christ aren't doing what they're supposed to be with the truth. But they read. You don't, not what I teach or somebody else teach. Read your word for yourself. Be surprised at what's in there that somebody doesn't even know yet. Because God is sharing secrets of the gospel that somebody else doesn't know. And you might read a chapter in the Bible about 50 times. Then the 51 time, 51st, whatever you're saying, boom, there goes a light bulb. You look, I never seen that there before. See, so read your word. Read this psalm that we went over today. See the confidence that David had in his father. That's why I put that song last about David, you know. David's heart, is that, I forgot, what is that what it is? But it's all about David. David didn't need all those wonderful things that he got. He just wanted to be with the Father. So when you go to the well, it's not so you can be exalted. It's not so you so that, you know, that your name's out there in lights. When you go to the Father, it's because you just want to be alone with Him. Barbara was sharing with me before we started. Somebody came in, and I don't know what day, but she said, "Hi, I'm Barbara." And she said, "Oh, you're the pastor?" See, people don't even know what I look like. One day somebody came in, and I said, "Hi, how are you, Daniel?" Shook their hand. They said, "Where's your pastor at?" I don't have my face plastered over. I don't like to have my picture taken to begin with, but I don't have my face plastered everywhere. So people, and the one you do use is when I was 50, not 80. So, you know, that doesn't even look like me anymore. So they're still looking for the pastor. Amen. Come on. You know, I don't care if you know me. I want you to know Jesus. I don't care if you don't know what I look like. I want you to know what Jesus looks like. And every place we go, whatever we do, that's what they should see, not your face. They should see Jesus shining forth through you. And when you're going through your hard times, and I failed in this category too. There's sometimes I was going through a hard time. I said, "God, this is just too much." Now, you've lost your mind today. That's why I talked to him. I said, "I can't do this." Yeah, you can. Quit your feeling sorry for yourself and get up and go on. Doesn't he give you those kind of days too? God, are you really looking, God? Have you really seen what you put on my plate? Of course he did. Amen. He's a master chef, right? He knows exactly what to put on your plate. He knows exactly what you can eat and what you can't. This morning, what God wants to do is he wants you to drink from the well confidence. He wants you to be confident in him that no matter where he sends you or what comes your way by the devil, and he allows that, you'll be confident like David was that your God is already fighting that battle. When Brother Christopher was saying about his wife had the vision here the night before about the angel on her son's car. See, that's how kind of good God we have. It's because she's been before his face, "Take care of my son, take care of my son, take care of my son." So he said, "Here, I'm going to show you what I'm doing for your son." See, she was drinking from that well. "You better protect him, Lord." You see what I'm saying here? So he finally let her, he showed her, "I have an angel that goes with him wherever he goes." So what about you? Do you really want to be like David? Do you want to be a true warrior? Do you want to have a warrior's heart? David had to have confidence to have a warrior's heart. Now, how confident are you in God? See, when David was out there in that wilderness as a shepherd all those years, he was gaining confidence in God. When he's out there, you know, just... You know how you boys are. You get out there in the stones and the rocks and the woods. You just flip things around and dance and go on, you know. You just lose all track of time, right? You're just doing boy things. And I'm quite sure that's what David is. He's probably skipping rocks and running around there, you know, and trying to see if he could kill the rabbits and stuff and singing and carrying on. But in all those years that God had him in out there in the desert, I mean, out there with the sheep, God was training him to be a warrior. So whatever you've been going through, you've been in training. But now this new word says you're in new training. You've been in training, so you were in training up to so you could come to this point in your walk with God. And now this is your last step. And now he's training you to be in the elite army of God. And you will never, ever, ever compromise any word of God ever again. And I'm going to reiterate here, whatever you do for God, because God was adamant with me last night, whatever you do for God, make sure you're living it. And don't come up and act like you're all full of joy when inside you're seething in anger or something. Don't do that. I don't know what God's going to do with you because he said, "I don't want that no more." We do not longer have two faces. We have one face. And that's the face of Jesus. And Jesus should be shining through us. Amen. Now, see, if you make a mistake, I'm very quick to get on email and tell you so. And this is the way God is. When you make a mistake, God's very quick to say, to pull you up short. Say, "Hey, you're not supposed to be doing that. You're not supposed to be going there." Amen. And I, you know, I've been really concerned about the young kids in this church. I want you young girls. We have, I think we have more girls than boys, but I want you a couple boys in here. I want you to really get to the well, seek God's face with all your heart, and allow God to use you the way he wants to use you in this end time hour. Have you been reading where these people who have made themselves into men or into women, now they're committing suicide because they knew it was wrong? And now they're wanting to reverse what they did, but they can't reverse what they did. And, you know, all right, so if you were a man and you wanted to be a woman, you know, they removed all those man parts and because they thought they could find happiness and didn't. And now they went to the doctor and said, we can't do what we did. And so now this one person, his testimony is, I'm living the loneliest life I've ever lived. Before I had my surgery, I was happy. But now I'm lonely because I've messed my body up. And isn't that what we do in our walk with God? We do dumb things and want God to erase them, and he doesn't erase them. The Word of God says that when we repent, he throws our sins into the sea of forgiveness. But he told me the other day, he said, there's always a price to pay for that sin. And the person he was talking to me about is going to carry guilt for what they did to me till they go to their grave. He said, I forgave them what they did, but they'll always carry that guilt. There's a price to pay for your sin. Please, don't sin anymore. And if you sin and you're paying a price, pay it and go on. What did David do when God killed his son? He didn't hold it against God. He didn't quit God. He kept on praising and living for God, didn't he? We all make mistakes in our walk with God. Everybody in this room does. But your mistake should never stop you. Your mistake should strengthen you so you can go forth and be the warrior that God has called you forth to be. We're going to have to learn to forgive and move on. When you're living with people like I do and you forgive them, they do the same thing every day. I said that this morning my cheeks are wore out. You know, turn the other cheek. And then in the process, they talk about you and say, you're nuts. You know, we have to keep loving our enemies. We have to keep loving those who persecute us. And the only way we can do that is if we drink from the well. Brother Chris talked about speaking in tongues last night, and I was sharing with Nancy. I went home feeling really down because I hardly ever speak in tongues. You know, you all know that. I don't believe in having you stand up and say and trying to get you to speak in tongues. You know, I don't believe in that. I believe if you know God can touch you and you can speak. I do speak in tongues, but I don't do it like Nancy does and Chris do. They could speak in tongues 24/7. I can't do that. The anointing has to hit me to speak in tongues. Just the way it is. I can't make myself speak in tongues. And I went home feeling bad after what the teaching I got. And I said, well, Lord, that's why I don't teach about speaking in tongues, because I don't do it the way he said we're supposed to do it. But I'm not going to let that stop me from doing the works God's having me to do. I mean, you know, that's not, you know, that is not that big a deal to me to make me stop serving God. So what I'm saying to you is, don't let what you can't do stop you. You know, and like I said, when the Spirit hits me, I can speak in tongues, you know, and God uses me that way, but the Spirit has to hit me. And so, you know, just keep walking. After all, you are a warrior. I used to always say, I wouldn't want any of you in the battlefield, in the foxhole with me, because I turn and look, you'd all be gone. Wouldn't have anybody covering my back. But, you know, we need to be warriors where we can trust each other in the foxhole, in the battle, right? Where we know that our backs are covered, and we know God covers our backs. But, you know, after all, if you're in a battle with me, I want you there fighting too. Amen. I don't want you running away saying, let her do it herself. Right? We're in this together. The heart of a warrior is what we're talking about this morning. And the only way you get the heart of a warrior is through confidence in God. So this morning, if you want to get that heart of a warrior, that confidence that God will always be with you no matter what he sends you to do. Now, if you go do it yourself, that I'm not even going to go there, because a lot of people in this room have done that. You've gone there yourself. and got messed up, and then you blame everybody else. No, that's why you have to walk in the Spirit. If you walk in the Spirit, you won't have to worry about messing up. Because the only thing you'll do is what you hear God say to do. And if you try to do something in your flesh, God will say, no, don't go there. And that's what he does with me anyhow. I don't know what he does with you. But if you really walk in the Spirit, God will always warn you what not to do. And sometimes he'll say, are you lazy today? I told you to do something. You haven't done it yet. Why aren't you doing it? And he tells me that. He said, you go do what I just told, what I told you an hour ago to do. Go do it now. See, God will always lead, guide, and direct you. David knew that. David had confidence that God would not allow him to go astray. Do you have that confidence? If not, the altar's open. Because as a true warrior of God, you need to have that confidence that God will always be with you and God will always tell you what to do. I want him to tell me what to do. I don't know about you, but he's the best mentor in the world. Because me and my flesh, I would mess up 24/7 if I depended on my flesh, wouldn't you? But we need God in our corner. We need God telling us what to do. The anointing is here to give you confidence to become the warrior that God has called you to become. And see, these teachings are deep in this revival because God is calling us to a new level in him. Don't miss God at this walk. It's just at the stage of your walk with him. Don't miss him. If you're a child of God, then quit dwelling in the world. Quit dabbling in the things of the world. That's going to get you messed up too.